After they discovered the room full of boats, Lina had come home to Mrs. Murdo's with the sound of the river still in her ears. It was like a huge, powerful voice, roaring at the top of its lungs. Deep inside herself, Lina felt an answering call, as if she too contained a drop of the same power. She would ride on the river. She could hardly believe it, and it might take her to the shining city she had dreamed of. Or it might drown her. What she had imagined before, the smooth, gently sloping path leading out, now seemed childish. How could the way into a new world be so easy? She dreaded going on the river, but she was ready for it, too. She longed to go. She slept that night in the beautiful blue-green room, in the big lumpy bed with Poppy next to her. She felt safe here. Mrs. Murdo came in and tucked the covers around her. She sat on the edge of the bed and sang an odd little song to Poppy, something about Rock-a-bye Baby in the treetops. "What are treetops?" Lina asked, but Mrs. Murdo didn't know. "It's a very old song," she said. "It's probably nonsense words." She said goodnight and went out into the living room, where Lina could hear her humming quietly as she tidied up. She was so orderly. She never left her stockings draped over the back of a chair or her sewing spread out all over the table. Lina closed her eyes and waited for sleep. But her thoughts kept tumbling around. So much was going to happen tomorrow. The whole city would be in an uproar. People would stream down into the pipeworks to see the boats. They'd be excited, shouting and laughing and crying, packing up their belongings and surging through the streets. If they couldn't all fit into the boats, there would be fights. Some people might get hurt. It was going to be a mess. She'd have to keep her little family close around her. Poppy, Mrs. Murdo, and Dune, and perhaps Dune's father and Clary. Through it all, she would hold tight to Poppy so no harm could come to her. It seemed she had barely closed her eyes when she felt Poppy's hard little heels banging against her shins.
"Time to get up, get up," Poppy chirped.
She got out of bed and dressed herself and Poppy. In the kitchen, Mrs. Murdo was mashing potatoes for breakfast.
How lovely, Lina thought, to have breakfast cooked for her,
to hear water bubbling in the pot, and to find a bowl and a spoon set out on the table, and vitamins lined up neatly beside a cup of beet tea.
I could live here forever, Lina thought,
before she remembered that in a day or two, they would all be leaving. There was a sudden banging on the front door. Mrs. Murdo dried her hands and went to answer it, but before she'd taken three steps, the banging came again.
"I'm coming, I'm coming," Mrs. Murdo cried,
and when she opened the door, there was Dune. His face was flushed, and he was breathing hard. He had a bulging pillowcase slung over his shoulder. He looked past Mrs. Murdo to Lina.
"I have to talk to you," he said. "Right now, but..."
He threw a doubtful glance at Mrs. Murdo. Lina scrambled up from the table.
"In here,"
she said, towing him toward the blue-green room. When she had closed the door, Dune told her what had happened.
"They'll come for you too," he said, "any minute. We have to get out of here. We have to hide from them."
Lina could hardly make sense of what he was saying. They were in trouble? Her legs went shaky at the knees.
"Hide?" she said. "Hide where?"
"We could go to the school. No one would be there today. Or the library. It's almost always open, even on holidays."
He hopped impatiently from foot to foot.
"But we have to go fast. We have to go now. They have signs up about us all over the city."
"Signs?"
"Telling people to report us if they see us."
Lina felt as if a swarm of insects was inside her head, buzzing so loudly she couldn't think.
"How long do we have to hide? All day?"
"I don't know. We don't have time to think about it. Lina, they could be outside the door this minute."
The urgency in his voice convinced her. On the way through the living room, she gave Poppy a quick kiss and called,
"Bye, Mrs. Murdo. We have some emergency work to do. If anyone comes asking for me, say I'll be back later."
They were down the stairs before Mrs. Murdo could ask any questions. Once in the street, they ran.
"Where to?"
Lina said.
"The school,"
Dune answered. They took Greystone Street, staying within the shadows as much as they could. As they passed the shoe shop, Lina saw a white piece of paper stuck up on the window. She glanced at it, and her heart gave a wild jump. Her name and Dune's were written on it in big black letters. "Dune Harrow and Lina Mayfleet, wanted for spreading vicious rumors. If you see them, report to Mayor's Chief Guard. Believe nothing they say. Reward." She snatched the poster off the window, crumpled it up, and tossed it into the nearest trash can. In the next block, she tore down two more, and Dune ripped one off a lamppost. But there were too many to get them all, and they didn't have time to waste. They ran faster. On this holiday, people slept late, and because the stores were closed, the streets were nearly empty. Still, they took the long route all the way out by the beehives to avoid Sparkswallow Square, where a few people might be standing around and talking. They ran past the greenhouses and up Dedlock Street. As they crossed Knight Street, Lina glanced to her left. Two blocks away, a couple of guards were crossing to Greengate Square. She tapped Dune's shoulder and pointed. He saw, and they ran faster. Had they been noticed? Lina thought not. They would have heard a shout if the guards had seen them. They got to the school and went in through the back door. In the wide hallway, their footsteps echoed on the wooden floor. It was strange to be here again, and to be here alone, without the clatter and chatter of other children. The hallway, with its eight doors, seemed smaller to Lina than it had when she was a student, and shabbier. The planks of the floor were scuffed gray, and there was a cloud of finger smudges around the doorknob of every door. They went into Miss Thorne's room, and out of habit, sat at their old desks.
"I don't think they'll look for us here," said Dune. "If they do, we can crawl into the paper cabinet."
He set his pack down next to him on the floor.